Go time.
Go time. I like it. Once again, it's time to open your ears and expand your mind. Or maybe it's dull your mind. Either way, I think these boys have something to say. So sit back, grab a brew. We're going to have some too. And give you our point of view here on Talking Brap. Okay, so last time I thought it was episode 7. This is actually episode 7.
Sweet, so I didn't miss anything.
Yeah. You didn't miss anything on the last one. So we're going to try to hit two topics tonight. First one's going to be...
How does that door taste?
Garage door safety?
Garage door safety, yeah. You know, and I said in the sketch, I was like, you know what, man? Hey, we're not going to bring it up on purpose. If it comes up in conversation... Yeah. He's like, I'm sticking around because I know you guys are going to talk shit about it.
Don't worry, all 8 listeners, they barely know you.
So, all right. So, welcome back. TalkingBrap.com, blah, blah, blah. Talking Brap on all the social medias. Hit us up. Before we get on topic, we're going to have to go ahead and address the elephant in the room here listeners don't know about.
So, you know,
which is
Shane Torres informed me that there is a National Babies Falling Out of Windows Awareness Month.
Really?
I wonder if there is a National Hitting a Garage Door While It's Closing with Your Motorcycle Awareness at all. Let me see.
Yeah. So, to inform the listeners here, every day, every motorcycle shop, everywhere you go, there's a certain amount of bikes that you have to pull in every day. So today... Sketch was pulling a bike out. Somebody had hit the garage door down as they were walking in, roll up door, not knowing that somebody else was pulling out. They'd hit the down button, walked away. It takes a little bit to go down. Sketch was going out. It looked like if he would have ducked, if he would have seen the door, which he didn't. He could have probably ducked and got under it, and that's what I think everybody thought he was doing.
Yeah.
But as he got closer and closer and closer, it became more evident that he did not see the garage door and he did not duck.
I think he actually went faster the closer he got.
I don't know how a better way to put it than it straight up cleaned his clock.
If you've ever seen it, in football terms, it rung
his bell. That was a hard hit, dude. I don't know, man. I'm impressed that he's not dead.
It peeled him off. It peeled him off the bike nicely.
Yeah, it did. It peeled him right off the bike. It didn't do a damn thing to the door.
No, you have that L bracket, the L reinforced frame on the bottom. Jesus.
According to Google, you are more likely to be kidnapped by your garage door
than to hit it while it's going down.
Than to run into it on a motorcycle while it's closing.
You're more likely to be kidnapped by it. That's great. Oh, man. So
First topic of the night is supposed to be broken and stripped bolts. And I think we can run through a bunch of stuff on this because...
I heard you had a day the other day.
Yeah, yeah. This is what brought it up. excuse me. It felt good.
You look good.
It did. Yeah, I always look good, though. So I got my ass kicked the other day by a broken...
garage door?
No, well, it was a broken a broken tap, and we'll get into that. It was actually a broken chaser, but it was because of cross-threaded bolts, and although cross-threading's a little off of what we're going into, what I had to do to get that out is not uncommon for broken bolts. So it really came, you know, I've been kind of wanting to do this because I posted something on my personal Insta. I thought I did it on Talking Brat, but I did it on my personal Instagram. And I had was working on an old twin cam bike. Might have been Evo. I don't know. I think it was twin cam. And one of the intake bolts was stripped. There was nothing I could do to get it out. Oh, yeah, that was here. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was just a couple weeks ago. And I had to pound a Torx head into it. And I finally got it out. And when I got done, I was like, damn it, I should have taken some pictures of that. That, you know, that's really informative. And that's kind of what spawned what I wanted to talk about tonight. So first and foremost... I don't care if you're a professional or you're at home. You're going to deal with stripped and broken bolts. It's going to happen. Especially if you're at home. The more inexperienced you are, the more you're going to deal with that. And my experience actually kind of bit me in the ass on the one I got my ass kicked. And we'll get into that later because I was trying too hard not to fuck it up. And I fucked it up, you know, and it was all said and done. But I feel like first and foremost, it's use... the right socket for the job, meaning, you know, 14 mil and 9/16 are really close, but you're going to strip something if it's really tight.
Well, it's 25.4 millimeters in an inch.
Yeah.
Yeah, 25.4, correct. So there are some calculations that are very close. You know, 3/8 and 10 aren't quite close enough that they'll work on each other, but sometimes
or half inch and 12.
Half inch and 12. But first and foremost, 6-point, 12-point is a very big topic there. 12-point sockets aren't really for anything high torque. You know what I mean?
Unless it's a 12-point. Well, yeah, you're talking 12-point.
12-point socket.
On a six point.
On a 6-point nut. you're gonna do really well in stripping it out, well, like a combination Matco, in
because they stopped making six point wrenches.
Yeah, really. Yeah, so and
they only make 12, right? Yeah. Matco stopped making so, 6 point.
I don't know.
I had a broken 6 point
ratcheting.
A box end wrench.
Yeah.
I had a 6 point box end wrench, and Matco stopped making them. Whatever company they went to.
I think the reason for that though is you have to go. They're so far in between each place that you can clip it on that not a lot of people use those. When you're trying to break something loose, you want 6 point. You know, if you're using low torque, you want 12. You know, because it's easier to get in there.
I mean, you get bigger, bigger the wrench. I think you're a little bit better off. But
yeah, but you still that 6 point. That's why they go 12 is so you can get on it and have you know twice as many places. But so
Dwight, that's my line.
So, you know, using the right socket, I think with experience, you can tell when a bolt is about to break or strip or something's going on. I think when you're the home guy, you may not, you have to do that a couple hundred times.
I think so.
Like we all probably did. I think the next step, if you have not stripped it yet, is heat, right? I mean, no.
Using it, you mean to get it
out?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. If you got a bolt that's stuck and you can't get it out, you know something's going to happen.
If it gets harder and harder within the full turn,
penetrating fluid is step number one.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Penetrating fluid is always.
Here's the rule.
I avoid fire at all costs. Yeah, I do not put fire near the motorcycle.
Well, no, that depends on where the bolt is. If it's near paint and stuff, yeah. But if you can.
Are you social distancing or are you just afraid to be on camera?
I don't like the camera.
Okay.
And I don't like Mike.
Yeah,
you had to point that out. Kind of dick,
this one,
I mean, we were doing fine.
No, I just want to let everybody know who the voice outside of you is.
So the idea behind heat.
This is live, motherfucker.
Yeah. The idea behind heat is to heat up the threads around the bolt so that they expand. take, you know, getting less grip on the bolt. Now there's not, you know, sometimes you're on an aluminum block or something like that, and it's not really a good idea to smoke one side of an aluminum block and try to get something out, you know.
It does heat up quicker than the bolt.
So, you know, they also make sockets for bolts that are stripped. Yep. So you know, you apply heat. At that point, you're going to strip the bolt or you're going to break it.
Those are metric.
What? Yeah.
Or Torx.
No, those are the only ones that they have. Yeah, I have Torx. They have Allen. We'll talk about that. Yeah. So at this point, you know, you're an Allen head, you're a socket, you're Torx, no matter what it is. You're penetrating fluid, maybe applying heat, but at some point you have to give it hell, right?
Yep.
So you're either going to break or strip the bolt.
Half inch impact.
I mean, whatever it is, giving it hell is giving it hell.
Hey, you know when they on the Harleys on the inner primary when they first started going to those washered shoulder bolts,
they had that shoulder bolts,
and they had that red lock patch on them, and they break all the time.
Yep.
I use my half inch impact to take them off.
Every time, yeah.
I would just turn it all the way up, and I would just, because it's got to come out, no matter what
well,
happens.
Yeah,
if it breaks or doesn't break, you still got to get it out. You got to get those out.
The theory there is you heat it up.
It would get so hot, I barely ever broke them. Everybody I worked with, they'd break them like every other time, and I'm like, I don't really break them.
Yeah, that's why I impact the primary bolts out still to this day, because if you get some heat going, it loosens it up, and the heat just runs right out.
The stock lifter cuff on these M8s.
Oh yeah, I use impact.
If I use an impact, I almost never, ever, ever. But many times it breaks. It's usually when we're just doing cams.
I'm afraid
you can't
to do
get
that.
In there. I when do you sit back and you're sitting there with the hand wrench. You're like, oh wait, got tight, great, and snap, great. All right, oh, and it's flush, perfect. And
it's I still impact them out. I use a
wobbly.
What are those? What the fuck are those things called?
Ball Allen.
Knuckle.
Can't use the ball.
Not Allen. I'm sorry.
The wobbly. The
universal.
Universal. The universal joint on a straight
ball and socket.
I was still thinking Tappet covers, and I have that ball Allen for it. I love it. But yeah, so you get to a point, and depending on what type of bolt it is, there's a few avenues. Torx, Allen, regular hex head sockets. A lot of companies now make bits that are designed to, you know, get out those bolts when they're certain point of stripped. You can go too far where they don't work anymore. You know, I have the Torx. I think Shane has the Allens. You know, I have
6-point sockets.
I have never really used those. I've never gotten that far. I only really use strictly 6-point. For the most part, so I don't round a lot of bolts. Break bolts, but I don't.
I had a customer who worked on his own bike, and I had to take the oil rail off the top, and he had rounded off the 6-point hex that's recessed in the oil line, and I put my little stubby in there that I usually get off, and it just went click and click, and it kept stripping. I'm like, great.
Yeah.
So I took a bunch of stuff out of the way. I was able to get that. I've used it like 6 times in the last 2 years, the strip set.
Yeah.
But I was able to put it right in, put a wrench on it, and just pulled it right out.
Yeah.
And like, 6 times I've used it, maybe. And the thing was like probably $200 for the socket set.
Yeah.
But the time it saved those 6 times is worth every penny.
Well, I lost about 4 hours the other day on a bolt?
No, you lost like the day.
Yeah, well, it was 4 hours it took to drill out the bolt.
Yeah.
That was what it took to. So we get to a point where, you know, so you've rounded the head of a bolt. The next step is there's 2 avenues here. Okay? One is the redneck backwoods avenue. And I've done this and it works.
Hammer it in.
No.
Oh.
When you still have a good surface on the top of it, you JB weld a nut to it and come back the next day and take it out.
Never done that.
And it works.
We have a welder here.
Hey, now, if you're on something you can weld, that works as well. But I'm just saying, backwoods, we're talking at home. We're not talking in a shop. You know,
gotcha.
We're talking at home. Okay.
Just don't.
And the
JB
reason
weld
I know this works is because I've known people that have bought cars that have those stupid locking lug nuts on them, and nobody could find the fucking the socket yeah. to get it off. So I had a buddy that had a car lot, and he would get them all the time. And so what we would do is JB weld a nut on the end of it, come back the next day, zip the fucking lug nut off. And you're talking 100 foot-pounds, so, I mean, it's on there pretty good. It's not, you know, it's not, and we'd use the cheap stuff for the most part. And they make some really strong stuff, but zip it right off and you're done. So I've known people use this in the criminal aspect. You know, you go over to somebody's house, they got locking nuts, you glue some nuts on the night before. Who the fuck even looks at their lug nuts every day?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It doesn't take much. So those, that's why I've never bought a set of those. I felt like there really is no security there. It's so easy to bypass, you know. The next step, I think, if you have the head of a bolt, is to cut a flathead in it.
Yep.
Take a Dremel, cut a flat head, you know, a flat slot in the top of the head, and then try to do something with a flathead bit or something like that. I think that's step, you know, the next step.
Yep.
When that doesn't work, you're now into maybe the
drill
extractor,
extractor
phase. So, you know, you get a good drill bit, you drill a hole through the core of it, and then you pound an extractor in there and it grips it, pulls it out. They work. I had a lot of times they work.
Like two or three times in the extractor shit.
But yeah. They,
it
you know,
doesn't last very long.
No, but they when you need them, they're really good. And then the last resort is where I ended up the other day. I had had some bolts that when I pulled them out, they were bent and cross-threaded. And so when I went back together, when I tried to run them in, it was wanting to lock up. I'd pull it out, and I'd take a thread chaser and run it through the hole. Everything seemed good. Run it back out. Run the bolt in. It would cross-thread again. And I did this. I can't even tell you how many times.
I
kept going. And no, you know, I'm running them in by hand. So eventually I'm coming from the back side of the hole because that's the best way to chase. You know, if somebody messed up the front side of the hole, the best way to chase out a thread is go from the back side of the hole.
Always the back side.
Yeah, you always go through the back side. so what had happened to me
it got uncomfortable.
Well, no, the thread chaser is so long, so an inch long. The threads are only about 3/8 of an inch on the end of it, and then there's a long, skinny shaft. So what had happened was I was chasing it through the backside.
So it has a bulbous head?
Yes, a bulbous head and a skinny shaft.
Okay.
And I was chasing that through the backside. Okay. And I could go far enough to get the threads out the other side, but I was trying not to, and I did. And so now I have, you know, it's
the
threads.
The non-tapered part, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's past the threads, and it's just falling around. So now I have to get it threaded back in from the other side that doesn't want a thread straight.
I would have cut it off.
And run it out. I should have. I didn't. And I was running it out, and I was using a small wrench, and I thought I was being pretty careful about how tight it was. And it kept locking up, and I'd run it in, and it would lock up, and I'd run it in, and it'd lock up, and then it broke pretty easily. Like, you know, it was done at that point. I had given it too much, and it broke inside of the threads. So now we have an extra hardened steel bit.
So I have some
inside of a thread.
I have some tap removers in my box,
but it wasn't
correct.
A tap.
It wasn't a tap, chaser. So it didn't have the spaces.
Because that's what I told him.
Yeah,
too.
I know. He was like tap remover, and I'm like, it's a chaser, and he was like, yeah.
I said, hey, go to Walmart and get these diamond bits for your Dremel and have fun.
Yeah, and so the diamond, I didn't.
We have some lifetime warranty drill bits, that
and they would
good.
Not do anything. I burned up a couple of them. I even put it on my Dremel and turned that bitch all the way up and just held it there to see what would happen and smoked the fucking bit.
Well, yeah, you gotta
slow. I was going slow. I was going fast. No matter what I would do, it would not touch it. Oh, trust me, I did that too. Yeah. I did that too. I ended up with a tungsten carbide bit that I bought at Lowe's. And it would eat it up. It ate it up actually pretty good, but it was flat tipped. So I would have to like come in at an angle, get a little groove, and then dig around in it. So what I had to do, if you could picture this, is if you were to look through the hole where the threads are, There's a, you know, basically a screw in those threads, which is hardened steel. And I had to grind all of that stuff away and try not to hit the threads. And I actually succeeded, but I was really impressed when I got done. It took me 4 hours. It was fucking retarded. And I, you know, I was losing money by the end of it. I think I spent my Dremel smoked. I smoked like $35 worth of bits. And this is what people don't understand. Sometimes you have some bad days, you know?
You should put the good one on.
Yeah, whatever.
Give him the makeshift.
This
Aaron.
Is sexy.
Give him the Aaron set.
Welcome, Sketch. Sketch got a head, took the headset. What did Marcus just dip?
I don't know.
He got a phone call and dipped out. I think
Amy was like, trouble. No.
Yeah. That's not going to happen.
He left his vodka, though.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
I'm disappointed.
So he got me with that the other day, and I couldn't help but laugh. It was great. I was like, dude, that's not orange juice. And he's like, it's vodka and orange juice. That guy ran out of orange juice. And I was like, nice. It's like, that totally makes sense.
In an orange juice bottle.
Yeah. But it's just water, I'm pretty sure.
No, yeah. He's.
So.
He got a little hammered, last week? And I think he's off the wagon on the wagon.
If you're not successful in damaging those threads, you move on to the next step, which is repairing those threads.
With another chaser?
Well, I guess that depends on how bad you go, but you get, you know, a Healy coil or a time cert or something like that.
I like time certs.
You're
going
to have to drill it out bigger. It depends on the application. Healy coils are okay if you're not going to have to take that bolt in and out a bunch. You know, if you're doing like a derby cover, Healy coils aren't necessarily that great.
Yeah.
Because they'll come out after three or four, you know, in and outs, they're going to start coming out. But time certs have their own, you know, downsides. You
need a lot of room for a time cert.
Yeah. And you have to inset the top of it. So you got to have the right material. You got to have everything there. So there, you know, there's a lot of decision there, but, you know, stripped and broken bolts, I think, are something that everybody deals with, and you get there and it's like, what the hell do I do now?
My own kid died.
So, What else have you used? Say you have a stripped bolt. Okay. And I can tell you one thing that I've used that actually works really well, and that's a pipe wrench. And I'm not talking like the crescent wrench style pipe wrench. I'm talking the ones that are hinged and like spring loaded.
Yeah.
And I've had really good luck with those. If you take them and get them on the bolt right, you know, in the right way, and they break them loose. I think vice grips have to be somewhat spoken about there.
Vice grips, yeah. I've used vice grips.
Good vice grips. Cheap vice grips do not do.
Not China.
Yeah.
China.
Yeah, as much as I love to talk about Harbor Freight, those vice grips will not do.
What's their new brand?
Which one? Icon?
Torque Icon.
Yeah.
I tell you what. Fuck Icon.
I'll tell you what.
I was at Lowe's the other day, and they have Craftsman now, I guess.
Yep.
It's Chinese.
And, dude, they had 120 tooth ratchets up there that were like really nice.
Yeah, but
for a good price.
But I bet you put you put the same amount of torque that you use on like a Matco or a Snap-on, I guarantee those teeth will grind out.
Oh, I agree. Well, because when you get that high, the teeth can't be big. You know what I mean?
I have the 99 tooth quarter drive or whatever. I can almost stand on that damn thing and not worry about it. It's pretty good.
I mean, I've smoked a few ratchets along the way. None of the big ones. I mean, I think that's why they stick to that 80, 90 tooth range.
Yeah, well, I think I think mine, the Matco, are like 92 or 88. Something, 88, and then Snap-on's a 90-something, right?
And that would be the thing. If you get into that, if I got into like 120 tooth, I probably wouldn't be trying to break really tight bolts loose with that.
But
you know, fine.
Yeah, but like the extra throw you get in a tight spot with an 80 to a 90 tooth ratchet, why do you need 120 tooth?
Because it's more. Cool.
And more is better.
I mean, dude, it moves so easy. You know,
with 120? What are you breaking loose with a half inch?
Maybe it was
this regular ratchet, it goes to 88, but mine goes to 120. Yes.
So the Icons are like 90, I think, and they're not bad. They feel about like an 80 Snap-on, if I had to guess. Like resistance.
They feel like an 80.
Well, no, there's like a... there's like a resistance that it takes to get past those, and for a 90 tooth, it doesn't seem
like, you know, the real feel. So when I come back next time, I think I want to be, I want to get a job being the real feel guy. Like, I want to get paid and just walk outside and go, I know it says it's 88 degrees, but it feels like 90.
And I would like, just put shit up every day.
All right.
Well, you know what?
It feels like shit. That's going to be my answer. Feels like shit.
He's like the real, he's the real feel ratchet guy.
Yeah, the real feel.
I don't know if that's 90 teeth. It feels more like 83.
I don't know, man. I think if there was a competition where you had to like torque things and shit like that, I would totally go for it. Yeah, I would totally go for that. Yeah, I'd be down for that shit. I'd
get pretty close.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
I play that game quite a bit with myself at work.
Oh, yeah.
So
I can't tell you how many times I've had my torque wrench set wrong, and I'm like, stop and look at it and be like, yep, I had that set wrong. Go back, and I'm like, click.
See, yeah, I was
right there.
I do it with a normal wrench. I'll sit there, and I'm like,
wait a
minute.
You can't tell me how many times you set your torque wrench wrong.
Well, no, you know, you go from one spot
so many times that you don't even, man, it's
through 10 years. Yeah, yeah. Through 10 years. Yeah, you move from one spot to the next. You know, you're doing primary cover bolts at 130, and then you go to the derby cover, you forget to change your thing, and you're like, I shouldn't be tightening derby cover bolt that tight.
Especially,
and you stop, and you look
tail.
Like, oh, yeah, yeah. So those I now only, I mean, you
then
know.
Adam broke his first one. He's like, well, I went to put it on and broke it. I'm like, well, look at those fucking little bolts, man. Of course they don't go to 100.
I watched the Master Tech in my old shop do, too, I think on one bike. Like, he kept doing it, and it was like, pink. And he's like, I'm torquing them to 8120. What the fuck? And it was like, I mean, we're talking one of the first six, you know, of those derby covers we'd ever seen. It was like so new.
Didn't watch the tech bulletin.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you know, really, realistically, we shouldn't need a tech bulletin.
No, because you go by the size of general size.
Because the general fastener size, all the fasteners have their own torque based on
how big they are. One's still pretty low on the general. It's 25 to 35.
That's one of the things that I think the metric does good. Is they don't really have like torques for covers. They have torques for fasteners.
Yes. Which I follow quite a bit.
So there's another really good way to not break bolts is to use a fucking torque wrench. You know what I mean?
Unless you're ready.
And it's not necessarily maybe this time.
Inch pounds? Oh, I'd put a foot pounds.
It's not maybe necessarily this time of tightening that bolt. But if you over torque it this time and
stretch the threads, the next time
you may not have to torque it that much and it's going to break.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And that's also a feel
because you can be going and when you torque something you're like you're working on, you know, a 40,000-50,000 mile, you know, twin cam that's been taken. The derby's been off and on.
Hey buddy, you got to look at the microphone. Sound like you're in a windstorm.
I'm in a windstorm.
Whoa, man, you're sexy.
Hey,
you get close
what's
to that.
Up,
hey,
sultry guy?
How you doing? Yeah, hey.
But yeah, hey so now. when you're working on a bike with a lot of miles, you always want to take that in consideration and maybe go to the lower end of the torque spec instead of, you know, oh, it's 80 to, you know, 120. I'm gonna do 120 every time.
Well, you know what? You know, there's a range because the first time you put the fastener in, you should go to the bottom.
Yeah.
The next time you go to the middle. And the next time you go to the top, my microphone's cutting out.
You're not. It's
not. It's just in your headset.
Oh.
What we hear right now is not what goes into post. it's our noise gate. It's noise gate. It's trying
how
to cut
go back
out.
To then.
What we see here right now is
what,
right now.
What part is this? What part of the movie is this?
This is now.
Well, how do we go back to then?
Yeah. No. Past. Fast forward past this part. Don't ever play that part again.
We can't go back to then. Why not? We missed it. When? Just now.
Just now.
Oh, Spaceballs is great.
Yeah. So, torquing is...
You say twerking?
So, to me, as you...
Wrecking ball.
There are certain bolts that I don't care how long you've been doing this, you better put a torque wrench on it.
You better twerk.
Better torque.
You know, there better be a torque wrench on there or there's a good chance of you fucking up. I think there are bolts that you get along the way that the calibrated elbow tells you where to be, you know. I think what they call critical fasteners, you know, brakes, shocks.
Oh, the clutch on my snap-on electric gun's pretty good.
Yeah, I have had my ass bitten more by electric tools that I thought I knew. Like where the torque was.
You got to know the battery.
Then, like, yeah. Like I don't rely. I will run bolts in like lightly enough to get them snug yeah. or something like that. But I don't rely on final ever really with
no.
With
but I'll set guns. It. I'll set it. I'll like I'm like all right. You know, Derby. I'll do yeah. a 7 or 8 with the clutch and go in and then yeah. grab the torque wrench. I'm like, oh yeah, like I barely a turn.
Yeah.
But you know, somebody like my brother who likes to, you know, run stuff in with a gun and then he grabs a torque wrench and it clicks right away. He's like,
yeah.
oh, perfect.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Perfect.
So I worked with a guy that would do this and he had like a, I think it was a Makita or Milwaukee or something like that. 18 volt impact. Yep. And he would fucking 18 volt impact every Derby cover in. And I can't tell you how many fucking stripped and bolt broken Derby cover screws I seen in that shop from bikes that he worked on that came back after he left. And it, I mean, it totally ruined me for use that part of the reason why I won't do it. Cause I seen him, he would just blah, blah, oh, it's fine. It's good. I'm over 100 inch pounds, blah, blah, blah.
So,
and the next time you go in there, that bitch breaks or oh, yeah, you know,
strips out
the Milwaukee, I can't remember what they're called. The
fuel.
The fuel.
Yeah.
So the impacts that I have, you can go on and you set them via Bluetooth to whatever torque you want. Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool.
So yeah. that little quarter inch driver that I use, it's set at 60 inch pounds.
Yeah.
So I start like all my covers and all that shit with that because 60 inch pounds isn't even enough to strip a quarter inch bolt.
No.
Yeah. Or to cross thread it. You know what yeah. I mean? So yep. I zip, 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 zip. And then that's like right in the middle of a quarter inch fastener.
And that's why I love mine with the clutch because I always run it down. I never run it yeah. up. That's my install. My big one's the takeoff. But the other one, so you'll go in and like you said, you can't strip it. So even if it's a little cocked or whatever, and you go and it just stops.
It's just going to hit.
It just stops and hit the clutch and like, oh. And yeah. you back it off and
yeah.
you go in.
Yeah. So I do that.
My Milwaukee 12 is kind of like that. If I set it on one.
And then when I go to like the final torque with my torque wrench, it's like a quarter turn. Click,
yep, click, yeah. click,
all yep. the way around.
Yeah, mine's probably 80 to 100 if I don't hammer it. You know, if I let it in, click, you know, I'm good. It's supposed to be 17 foot-pounds, but I think you have to hammer it to get to 17 foot-pounds. Because I can. If you sit there and blah, 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 it'll get up pretty high. But just like running it in for a click, it's pretty low because I go back. I do it on like primary covers, and I go back and I always get like a quarter to a half a turn, and I'm like, okay, good. I'm not fucking that up. You know?
I was gonna buy one of those Mac, which are just DeWalt with yep. a red shell. I was gonna buy one of those, an 18 volt driver, and this is a few years ago, and I pulled it off. The guy was there, and I said, well, I want to see what it says because it said it had 100 foot-pounds of breakaway torque, and I was like, okay, no problem. Let's go in this. I'm going to test the breakaway torque right yeah. now. So I went to a front axle.
Front axle was 65 to 75 pounds.
Ding, 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 ding. I was like, nope, this is a piece of shit. Keep it. Yeah. And yeah. he was like, well, and I was like, yeah, this is 75 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your 100 foot pound breakaway torque won't take it off. So that fuck that thing.
Yeah.
So I'm going to plug Harbor Freight here because I bought the Earthquake.
Here we go.
24 volt impact. And it says like 1800. Maybe it's an inch pounds or something stupid. It can't be 1800 foot pounds. There's no way.
Well, it can say,
but it's got some crazy high torque.
It's from China. They can say whatever they want.
What do you think the torque value is on a main shaft nut on a Sportster? Because that's a torque and turn. You got to be up in the 150.
Yeah, it's probably 180 range. To 180 pounds yeah, when yeah. all said and done.
So
I imagine it's at least 135 pounds.
Yeah, it's got to be at least 150. Now, I had put new polyurethane bushings. It was a race bike. Put new polyurethane bushings in
this thing.
I ate all
your other ones earlier. You had them sitting on
and
that. On yeah, you had them on the floorboard. And I walked over and I was like, ooh.
So
I grabbed them and ate them.
I had put new polyurethane engine mounts and stuff in this thing. I was trying to break the main shaft nut loose with a breaker bar. And I had a pull on it, and this thing was flexing the polyurethane engine mounts. And I was getting, like, worried because I was like, I don't want to fuck up some brand-new engine mounts I just put in this thing because they're not fun, you know, in a Sportster. And so I was like, I need an impact. You know what I mean? I need an impact. I'm going to go buy. And I was going to get to Milwaukee because Milwaukee is the second in rated power and everything. The Milwaukee makes a pretty badass one in there, 18-volt. But I found the Harbor Freight one, and I said, well, there's a Harbor Freight down the road. I'm going to run up there and buy it. Told my wife. said, hey, I'm going to buy this thing. If it does not break this main shaft nut loose, which on a Harley is about the hardest thing we have to do, is to break that nut loose.
You're talking the clutch main shaft?
No, the
I don't know. Usually when I pull up on my Harley, it's pretty easy to break a nut loose.
The pulley nut, the big, the...
I guess 70, 80 foot pounds of 45, 35 to 45.
Yeah, yeah, torque and turn. Yeah. You know, 150 probably foot pounds of torque.
Break a nut loose.
And I told my wife, I said, look, if this thing doesn't break it loose, and it was also reverse thread, I think.
Yeah.
So it gets higher breakaway torque than it does, you know, tightening torque. So I was like, if this thing doesn't break it loose, it's going right back to the store. And I mean, that thing just like ripped it right off. And I was like, okay, I can use this. And I use it all the time. Like when
then he
there's
got a
bolt,
shopping cart, and he was like, talk to me, China.
Talk to me. Hey, you know, in the end.
I have a 20-year-old.
What do you think? Okay, so
Mac.
Snap-on, what's their half-inch drive impact run? About $800?
12.
I don't know. My kit for my 3/8 with the dual trigger
battery
and that half-inch was like $1,400.
Yeah. I paid $200.
Yeah, sure. But how many times have you used it?
I used it twice today.
He uses it to put derby cover bolts on.
All the time.
That guy he was talking about. Yeah.
No, like I did forks today. So it doesn't spin very fast. So I can put it on a damper screw and just pop it and it'll break it loose. And yeah. I can put it on the top fork cap and pop it and
so
it'll break it loose.
I got a Mac,
and then I take my ratchet out and take it out.
I got a used 20-year-old diesel style air impact half inch from it's a Mac.
Yeah.
Got it off a Snap-on truck. My buddy had the truck. I was looking for an impact. And he goes, hey, I know you're looking for an impact. You're looking at my new ones. But man, this gun right here, it's $75. It's in a bucket, you know?
Yeah.
He goes, nothing wrong with it. Yeah. He goes, buy it. I've had that thing 12 years.
Is it a long anvil?
No, it is literally a stubby, but the thing it weighs like 12 pounds.
Yeah.
And it's super low speed, but high torque. I've never had an issue unless you have a super skinny hose that doesn't feed a lot of volume of air.
That's why I went battery.
But this thing, I'm telling you, it'll like I've had Rhodey had his new Matco gun that he bought last year. And he couldn't break something
that
loose.
Dumbass. See, well, I don't know why he bought that.
And I walk over and I'm like, here, look out. And takes it off. He's like, what the hell? I was like, yeah, 20 years old.
So
like,
first-hand experience, I kid you not, the guy next to me in my last shop, Corey, had the Snap-on half-inch impact. And that motherfucker wouldn't break anything loose, dude. It was garbage. It was probably first gen, you know what I mean? It probably wasn't as good as the ones that are out now.
Yeah, they stole Milwaukee's designs. Yeah, so they're good now.
So it was, I mean, he would come over and be like, give me your fucking Harbor Freight impact. And he would be so pissed to ask because he paid so much money for that fucking impact. But yeah, dude, all the time.
My Snap-on guns that I use every day, the electric ones, I won those in a raffle. So that's why I use them.
Those are also really good low torque. Those rocker switches.
I love that rocker.
Rocker switch is awesome.
Yeah.
That's the best design ever. That's the whole reason I bought that whole set. And I was like, fuck.
You don't want it for breaking like heavy shit loose, but for everyday use.
My thing's pretty tough. My 3/8 drive will zap off 80, 90 inch or foot pounds.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's pretty tough.
Yeah, I go to the front axles and zap stuff off. They're like, whoa, that little thing took it off. It's backwards. First time. That's okay.
First time. Yeah.
No, you don't.
So, you're too old. All right. I think we've blathered on about broken and strip bolts enough. So the next topic was
how to avoid closing doors.
Watch out for
the
fucking
first
door.
Step is look where you're going.
The best thing is Rhodey felt so bad all day, and then Rhodey's pulling the bike out earlier, and he goes, don't worry, Rhodey, I'll get the door.
So
I was
dying.
God.
Wrong kid died.
Wrong kid died. Oh, shit.
Hey, Knievel, get your bike out of the street.
My next topic is kind of spawned from experience and, you know, Tyler's a good example. He went for a ride for like 8-hour ride, come back, looked like a lobster.
But only half his face.
Yeah. And he's like, I didn't even think about the sun, you know.
I went for a ride, did all this stuff. Yeah.
Well, that's because he's rocking that bass boat and all the glitter. that shit don't play. Into his eyes.
Yeah, today we were working. He goes, "Are y'all talking shit about me?" And I'm like, "No, we aren't talking shit about you. If it came up about fucking riding around on a bass boat or something like that, yeah, we'd be talking shit about
Tyler.
You.
Yeah, or hey,
then he's like, "If I ever get a bass boat, I'm going to paint it the same color." And I was like, Yeah, I would too. We know. I'm like, that's pretty badass.
If you ever get a bass boat, it'll already be painted that color.
Exactly.
Why are you making fun of your motorcycle?
You just got to find a used one that color. You'll be
He's
good.
Like, I got a pontoon boat, and it's a bass boat now because I painted it the same color as my bike.
All of us have ridden quite a bit. And all of us have been in that instance where you get home and you're like, fuck. I really could have used this, or I really should have done this. And I think this is where baggers come into play. When you're on a sport bike, you don't really ride 8 to 10 hours a day.
No, you do. You just get soaked.
Well, yeah, but if you do, you have some kind of bag or something on it. If you're riding more than
it's
like
called track day.
Yeah. Yeah. Track day. There you go. There's a really good example. If you're riding for more than 2 or 3 hours, there's things you need.
Well,
you know, you need a bottle of water.
That's the thing is I have an old burnt up sporty, and anything that I can't, like, I'll put rain gear.
You do?
And I'll zip it up to the handlebars and like zip ties.
Yeah.
And because it's an old sporty, I'll carry zip ties and snips in my jacket everywhere I go. But yeah, half the time is anything that I need. Like if it's my helmet has the visor. Like the tinted
visor. Does
your
visor
have a visor?
Not anymore.
God,
I have the clear visor.
It's got half of a fucking visor.
So he has the flip down, which is what I have, which is for the sun, and then the clear visor. But yeah, usually it's, you know, a rain jacket or something cover that you zip up, or rain gear. But yeah, it's kind of one of those things if you're riding. Hopefully you're riding with somebody with saddlebags.
We'll see. Okay. So here comes one of the things. In every group, there's a bagger.
Yep.
And it may not be an actual bagger, but it is somebody with some kind of bag or with some kind of backpack or something that is toting somebody else's shit.
But let me ask you this.
Bro.
How many times have you had a customer come in, and especially in Tennessee where the weather changes every 5 minutes? And they come in and they're soaked and they're like, "Yep, I usually have rain gear in my bag, but I took it out yesterday when I cleaned it."
Yep.
Almost 67% of the time.
That's what spawns what I wanted to talk about, which is, you know, geographically, there's obviously going to be, you know, if you're in Arizona, you probably don't necessarily carry rain gear every day.
Yeah, Cali.
No,
Cali,
you don't need rain gear.
No, yeah. Cali, I would throw
in Florida,
a jacket.
I never went
it.
Anywhere without rain gear.
If you get caught in a rainstorm in Arizona, it's like winning the lottery.
That's the same with Cali. It's like, oh, it'll miss for a minute. So I throw
and
a jacket.
And from what I understand, when it rains there, it fucking rains there. You don't want to be riding.
No, it dumps.
Yeah, yeah.
Floods the road.
And I've been caught.
Me too.
Yeah. Yes. And so how many times have you been caught in the rain and realized that your eyewear was not nearly sufficient enough for the rain?
Well,
because I've had
face,
that
so.
Totally full on, like where I could not really see. I should not have been riding because the eyewear I had was not made for the rain.
Or in my situation with no hair, you don't have headgear in the rain, it hurts. In Phoenix, there's no helmet.
Yeah.
So you get caught in the rain, it hurts.
Yeah. So there's a good example, you know, and most of this spawns, you know, people ride and they'll ride to bike night and they'll ride to their friend's house and they'll ride here and they ride
weekend
home.
Riders.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't experience any of those things when you get to plan exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, when you go out with your friends and you end up hanging out at a bar and drinking and riding here and riding there, and then all of a sudden it's dark. Fuck.
Yep.
I did not bring any clear glasses,
yeah,
and I have
sunglasses.
A tinted fucking shade on my full face helmet.
And that's why I do not. That's why all my helmets have the fighter shade that comes down, and it's clear. Because even when I rode sport bikes back in Cali, and you knew you're riding in daytime, you're up in the mountains in the twisties, and so when you're going from a strait that's all open and sunny, and then you dip in to where you're under the trees and the sun it goes to shade, and you're doing 80 miles an hour coming up to a 60 mile an hour curve, the time it takes you to adjust,
yeah,
it's bad.
So are yours like hooked up so you can like fighter shade up?
No, I don't.
Voice control.
No,
Shades up.
I will
shade
literally
down.
Leave the fighter shield off.
Shade up. Shade down.
And deal with the
sun. I ride
sun
with them as well.
And deal with the sun for that straight, so, because I know when it changes into the shade, I'm going to need to see. But the same thing is nice when you are cruising and you're in just open sun. Turn into the sun. Here, you can put the shade on.
Yeah. Here's the problem with that. They don't make cool mirrored visors in clear.
So well, Marcus, I have ordered a Bell helmet.
Yeah. It doesn't matter if you
and
look cool.
His was clear this morning. What was the problem?
I thought you ordered that last year.
Yeah, it was last year.
it'll be here this
week. I got a photo this week. What they call a photochromatic lens.
Yes.
Which means that it gets darker with more UV light and lightens up with less.
Like now, my
you
glasses.
Already have one of these.
I do have one on my Bell. It's not completely dark, but it does the job. And it does go dark.
How long does it take to change?
The new Bell, the new whatever they're using is amazing. I heard a few years back that they weren't that great. They didn't transition like they should.
It takes
a
while.
The new one, like I'll get outside and leave for the house and it's dark. As soon as I leave, as soon as it hits sun, it's dark. And then
maybe a minute or two or something like that.
Yeah, within a minute, it's dark. And then it clears up just as quick.
So it takes a while. So like for
like you're talking about not maybe not necessarily the best thing, but it also probably doesn't get as dark as your tinted visor does.
The
helmet I have
I'm
ordered I think has a tinted visor as well.
Hey, let's get together. I'm all in on the voice controlled fighter shades. Yep. Shade down. Shade up.
Shade down. Call it shade down.
Shade down.
Shade down.
Shade up. Shade down.
Can we be like Maverick mode?
Yes.
Goose mode.
I'm in.
Or Iceman.
So I wear Iceman. Aviators. Maverick. Iceman. Maverick.
We just need a light sensor. A light sensor on the top of the helmet and have it automatically.
Yeah.
Are we?
Come on, man. Let's not go too far. Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you're on some badass twisty road and you're going from light to dark and you're not saying Iceman,
Maverick.
Iceman. Maverick. There's no point in the whole op. Then it doesn't matter. Just use your mirrored semi dark. And
no, clear.
It.
I run clear all the time.
But that's not cool.
Long sleeves.
I know it's
Plus you just. When you pull up with your clear visor and your fighter shades, everybody's like, what the fuck? We're not going anywhere with this guy.
Yeah, but you know what? Sketch had a clear visor this morning.
And it didn't
he still
help him
didn't
much.
See the guy with the, because I guess it was dark to light, the sun glare. I'm going to blame the sun glare for him just because.
Wasn't any
sun.
Well, the sun comes in at night, not in the daytime.
But
I'm pretty sure it's night that it goes down.
It rises
the other way.
But the overhead lights weren't on, so it's kind of dark in here. It was bright out there.
I'm blaming Sketch's tunnel vision. Tunnel vision.
I'm blaming the whole reason he has the name Sketch.
Because
at least once a month he has to fucking crash something.
You told him, I told him today, mark at zero, right?
Yeah, mark at zero.
He said it.
He said it this morning.
He did. He was like, fuck it, mark at zero.
I like when he's laying on the ground. He's like, oh, how's the bike?
We were like, fucking
fuck
shut
the
up,
bike.
Dude.
Don't worry. And the second thing he said was, can't believe I didn't see the door.
Shane is not lying. I heard all of that.
Who put that there?
Oh, fuck.
Rhodey's all going into EMT mode, getting his gloves on.
Yeah.
And I was he's fine. He fucked his nose up. Get up, Sketch. I don't want to move him. I'm like, Sketch, can you move your toes? Yeah. You're fine. Get up.
I know.
I know. Rhodey was being a little. I think Rhodey felt bad because
he
hit the down button.
He hit the down button.
Yeah, and walked away. And you're not really thinking much, but yeah. So the transition thing brings up UV light. Okay. UV light affects more than your vision.
Oh yeah.
And a lot of people don't think about that. So if you're not wearing a full faced helmet, your face gets a lot of wind and sunburn. You know, you can get a lot of wind and sunburn.
Marcus,
your arms,
your head.
If you see a lot of people, and what's really weird, if you get onto Phoenix and stuff, they kind of get it a little bit more.
Long sleeves.
They will layer
long
up.
Sleeves. Fuck
yeah,
yeah,
they will layer the fuck up. Yeah. You'll see guys in leather and shit. Yeah, 100 degrees. You see guys in leather.
White long
what the
sleeves.
Fuck? Yeah. There's a reason for that, especially in a dry climate, because when you sweat, it evaporates so fast that you don't know you're sweating.
Mm-hmm.
My uncle had an experience with this in Colorado. And coming from Florida, you know, you work all day, you sweat, you drink, you sweat, you drink. It's, you know, it's there. Up there, he's working all day. He's not sweating. He's not thinking about drinking. He dehydrated himself, got really sick. Sweated it all out.
What, that chick died in Arizona. What the hell was her name? Kimi
Räikkönen?
No, from Two Girls,
yeah.
One Cup. Remember that?
Yeah, the
she had like a promotion company, and she would do like bike events and stuff, and promote them, and do like help bars and businesses, kind of like Thunder Roads. But there were two chicks that were like hardcore riders, and they were doing there were like a bunch of events in Phoenix. This was like what in 2013 or 2014, somewhere around there.
Yeah,
and it was summer, so it was super hot, and they were going from like place to place to show up, you know, and be like, oh, good, it's going good. She got dehydrated and fucking died.
Yeah.
Side of the highway.
Had a buddy died going down the highway.
And I mean, she was, you know, died. She was from there all the time. But, you know, if you're not from that area, though.
You don't realize.
You don't know. Yeah.
This is what it's like. People like were like, oh, what's it like riding in Arizona in the summer? It's easy. Just go to your bathroom. Take a hair dryer and point it at your face and turn it on high. Yep. I'm not even fucking making
I jumped in
your face on high. And that's what it's like riding in
Phoenix
in the
summer. I joked to people, I said, yeah, turn your oven on to like 220 and open the door and just stand there.
But you don't get the wind.
Yeah. You don't get the wind. Yeah, the blow dryer.
You need the hair
effect.
Dryer because you're like, God, fuck.
I had people go, you're in a non-helmet state. Why do you wear a helmet? Are you so afraid of crashing? I'm like, well, it's part of it. But really, I like the face shield because it's actually cooler in your helmet with the face shield down than it is riding without a face shield at all. It's
well,
so
riding
hot.
Without a helmet in general
full
is
face,
cooler.
Yeah.
Is cooler than not riding. And I don't mean like cool, like, hey, you're cool looking. I mean like it feels better on the head. So in hot climates, I see why there's a lot of places that don't have helmet laws.
Yeah, but when you're going 90 miles an hour in that heat, I'd rather it be warm and not have it blasting in my face.
Yeah.
Yes.
Maverick mode.
Yes.
Maverick.
Maverick.
Iceman.
So, you know, I've learned the lesson. I did it here, even coming from Florida. I got, you know, I get into Tennessee and I'm like, oh, fuck, it's ain't Florida. It's Tennessee. And I rode all day and I was like, fuck, my arms are all sunburnt and shit. And I'm like,
that's 20 minutes.
Yeah, no, actually, I'm darker than you right now.
I wear a long beard. Sleeve shirt when I ride to work.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't, I've done it enough.
I have a mesh jacket and I haven't really worn it here much. It's a Dionese.
You should.
Yeah, everybody says it different.
You should wear that
Dionese.
If you were to say it, if it was not from another language and you were to write that out and it were English spoken, it would be Dionese.
Well, so why aren't you wearing it now? If you have a mesh vest.
Because I didn't ride my motorcycle today.
Is it like fishnet? I mean, I just want
That'd
you to
be
wear
hot.
You should just
It's like, not a vest, it's a jacket.
Okay, even better.
Fishnet. Fishnet. Fishnet.
And it's got like armor and the sleeves and all of that stuff.
Other than that,
all chaps are assless.
It's like
semi-see-through.
It is. If I wear no shirt underneath of it, I look like an 80s.
So here's
like,
the deal.
You know, pop
guy.
Why are you not wearing it right now? That's my question.
And why are you
Because you horny fuckers are going to.
I want to see the mesh jacket now.
Yes. But no, I bought it in Florida.
And I want it now.
Yeah, it's my money and I want it now. I bought it in Florida because I did want the arm protection.
And you didn't want the nipples.
And I didn't want the sweating of a vest. So I never understood. Like California, Florida, Texas, Louisiana, anywhere in the South. How the fuck all these guys ride around in leather vests in the goddamn summer?
Well,
like, I don't get it.
California, I mean, summer is like 82 degrees with like 30% humidity. It's
not up in Northern California.
Well, Sacramento, but we always left the valley.
Yeah, you're close to the ocean.
Yeah, we were 40 minutes from the ocean, so we'd always jump over and then cruise 1 or 17 in the mountains and the highway.
Don't throw your fucking rich ass Southern California white boy. It's not Southern.
See, everybody from SoCal thinks that San Jose is NorCal, but all the NorCal guys are like, no, you're SoCal.
Well, it's below the bay.
No.
Yeah.
Well, but it's not.
It's
35 miles below the bay.
That's the cutoff, though. That's the cutoff. If you're below the bay, it's Southern California. Fuck all those guys. Now, you guys, so if it's the grapevine for you, right?
Yeah.
If you
going towards
the south
LA,
side of the grapevine, that's Southern California, and the north side of the grapevine.
Yep.
See, the north side of the grapevine for us is Fresno. The Fresno Valley, which is.
So should there be a northern, a central, and a southern?
Well, I think the last thing was there should be 8 states, right? Didn't the last proposal, they tried to split it into eight different
states?
Parts?
Yeah.
Wow. And they wanted because they wanted Mojave and all that shit to be its own area too. Mm-hmm. So it was just like L.A. was a state, San Diego's a state, San Francisco's a state.
Yes, please.
San Jose's awesome.
I've only driven through California.
So expensive. And San Luis Obispo.
Slow, yeah, hell yeah.
Fuck, that whole area. Dude, I'll tell you what.
Gilroy's nice, too.
I drove from 20 up to Portland in California and up. So 20. I've driven through it. Yeah, I-20 runs I-10, I-20. Yeah. So it's...
So did you take
Vegas? I think like Vegas line around there is where 20 runs.
Yeah, you went to the 101. Yeah, that's,
and then we went up to Portland.
That's a Southern California thing. You said the 101.
The 101.
That's SoCal. The 101 to the that's what SoCal thing. Yeah.
So what else? What else do you got? So you go on a ride,
California.
Wait, so I guess it's just one state.
It is.
What else do you think you carry with you that you've learned from a ride?
Pistol.
A hanger.
A hanger?
I bring a hanger.
Some sort of...
Why?
A hanger. So if I go like on a trip, I bring a hanger and a Leatherman and my cell phone.
And some zip ties.
I use a hanger in case it needs to be more permanent.
There you go.
Yeah.
But that's it. If I can't fix it with a hanger, then I call a tow truck on my cell phone.
Yeah. That's true.
On my cell phone.
Yeah. My buddy carried bailing wire.
Bailing wire.
Yeah, bailing wire.
Some sort of paper towel, something to wipe your ass with.
Shit happens. Yeah.
Swamp ass.
I mean.
You should get one of those beaded seat covers.
I feel like
sunscreen. Lip balm, chapped lips happens. Yep. You know what I mean? Those are things people don't think about.
Lip balm?
Lip balm, sunscreen. Now, you'll get a lot of dealerships, if they're smart, will do promotional items of those.
Yeah.
And they will give those away.
Yep.
Towels to wipe your glasses off.
Yep. A little towelette.
Something you never think of until you're out and your glasses are all fucking
ear
dirty.
Ear protection.
Yeah. So one of the things I do, because I rode every day for so long, I always have a microfiber towel. So I always have a little roll bag on my bike.
Yep.
And I take my microfiber towels and I wrap them around the lenses of either the clear or the tinted glasses that I have
stashed.
Which
you're not wearing, yeah.
Exactly. I have one on and one in my bag at all times. And it keeps the glasses from getting scratched up when they're in
the
bag.
Yep.
And when I pull them out, I can clean them, put them on, clean the glasses that I have, wrap them up, put them back in there. That's a big one for me. You know, I know a lot of people, like, especially I talked to Dylan, he's got the transition lens like I have, I'm supposed to be getting. I was like, well, do you still wear sunglasses? Because I wear sunglasses. And I was curious. I was like, do you still wear sunglasses? He's like, no, I don't wear shit. Yeah. I'm like, you don't wear any eye protection underneath there? And he's like, no. And I'm like, well, technically, if you want to flip your visor up legally, I don't know about in Tennessee, I know in Florida. If you want to flip your visor up and ride, you need safety glasses on underneath them.
Arizona's the same way. They pulled a buddy of mine over for not having eye protection with his visor up.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's everywhere.
They were fucking with
him.
But still, that's what they say the law is. But
yeah.
I stopped.
I got pulled over once in Arizona because I didn't have a light on my license plate, and I told him it was solar.
Yeah. Is my plate reflective? Yeah. Well, that's why they're reflective now. So you don't need lights.
I got fucked with because I stopped at a light, left work late, had, like we talked about earlier, I had sunglasses. Yeah. I stopped at a light, put my sunglasses on my forehead. The cop next to me gave me a hard time. And I'm like, they're in my hand. They're right here. I don't have clears. Wearing them.
So I've popped the lenses out of my sunglasses so that they look like clear glasses. And I've ridden with that shit at night so that I didn't get pulled over. It look, you know, you can see the frames and shit, so it looked like I had glasses on. But I just popped the fucking lenses out of my sunglasses.
I actually talked to one of the officers that come through here.
Yeah.
About eye protection.
Yeah.
And what the laws are here. He said, as long as you have a windshield here, you're okay.
Really?
Yeah.
So even in Florida, I know, windshield doesn't matter.
Yeah, you can ride without them as long as you have a windshield.
Well, is it an actual law or is it just something they fuck with people? Because you know
I've never read the statute.
Here's the deal. One of the things that police love to do is they love to take advantage of the fact that most citizens don't fucking know what's the law and what isn't. So when they pull you over and start asking you, well, can I look at your car? If there's nothing in your car, then I can look inside it, right? They're just entrapping you.
Yeah, ultimately, like, no. Though, it is a good idea. You know, in this case, where if you have transition lenses, to have a set of clear glasses on underneath. So when you flip it up, your eyes don't get all watery. You don't get shit in your eyes and you can't see. Well, you know what I mean? It's a good idea.
And that's the thing is these are transition lenses. And I use them when I ride. But my visor is UV, even the clear one. So if I have the clear visor down, they don't transition, but I can still lift it up and they transition. Yeah. But it's not as quick as, like, if I go outside, I'm in the sun for 5 minutes, and then you walk back inside, it's dark as shit inside because they're tinted, and it takes
five minutes. I had a set. So I bought a set of photochromatic glasses 10 years ago. And
I wonder if they make glasses.
Like, I would have to, like, leave them in my dash. So that when I got out into them, they'd be dark.
Yeah.
And I'd put them in. I swear to God, it took 30 minutes for them.
Well, your windshield of your car should be UV, so it shouldn't transition in the dash.
It did.
That's weird.
It did.
I'm calling out safety. What is it? What's that company?
I don't know. I mean, you can't.
The UV is what makes them transition. So if you have UV protection, like your windshield.
Maybe that's why it took so long in the windshield.
Because mine don't transition in my car.
Even when I wore them, though, like it was so bad. Like you'd walk inside, you'd have to take them off.
They've not met in the last couple of years.
Hold on, though. You also have a fairly new German car.
Yeah.
So it probably has a fairly new German windshield.
I just say Maverick, and it goes.
We don't want the UV. Yeah. Cut it out. Cut it all out.
Yeah, there's got to be a German word for Maverick, and that's what you have to say in your car. Yeah, it's Maverick. It's still Maverick. It's still Maverick and Iceman. Yeah. Every language, Maverick, Iceman.
Iceman.
Japan, they're like,
Maverick. I can't wait for that Maverick. Movie.
Dude, I know. I saw like a Christmas. Bunch of hate. I saw a bunch of like hate shit on there where he still has the leather jacket, but they took some of the sponsors and shit off because some Chinese company is helping produce the movie.
Oh.
So these companies are like, fuck you, whatever. I don't know. I don't know the ins and outs of all the merchandising part of it. And I don't care because it's going to be fucking Tom Cruise flying jets for real, just like the last Top Gun. And they can make as many jet fighter and whatever air combat movies they want. Top Gun fucking destroys all of them.
Oh, yeah.
And Top Gun 2 is going to be better than Top Gun 1.
I hope so.
Oh, absolutely. He's the instructor now.
Aaron was like, you know what I'm doing for 4th of July? I'm like, what? He's like, I got a projector set up in my backyard, and I'm playing Top Gun. And I'm like, fucking awesome. Yeah.
So, we got nothing else, huh?
Deutschland.
Deutschland.
If you don't like Rammstein, then fuck you.
I think it's always good to carry a bandana.
Yeah.
Always keep a bandana.
Cover your face. Cover your head.
Wrap it around a cut. So, or
as bad as it sounds, those stupid neck things that they sell. You know what I'm talking about. Oh, the little masks. Yeah, they have all kinds of shit on them. I have quite a few of them, and they're nice because they do not take up a lot of space. They fold up really small. So you can like tuck them in places, and they do come in handy, man. You know, you never know. You're riding, you get in a sandy place. This shit sucks.
Yep.
You know, I've been where there's bugs, in Florida especially. You cross over like I-4 Lake Monroe at dusk, and you will eat mosquitoes. Like all over in your beard. I mean, we did it so many times, and we'd ride to the next spot and get there. There's like bugs in your beard, like everywhere, and you can't do anything about it because you're over the water, man. They don't know any better. They're just flying around, and you're fucking zipping through them at 70 miles an hour.
You're in their area.
So this is why Germany lost World War II. Maverick in German is Einzelgänger.
Einzelgänger.
It just doesn't roll off the tongue like Maverick.
No.
So you got Einzelgänger and what's Iceman?
I still like Maverick, Iceman, Maverick, Iceman. Yeah. That's good.
It's Iceman.
Iceman?
Iceman.
Iceman. Iceman.
So it's Einzelgänger, Iceman.
Einzelgänger, Iceman. Awesome. No.
It just doesn't have the ring.
No.
So I'm looking forward to the next one. I don't know if you guys are going to come in. It's going to be late at night, probably at my house. Y'all live so far in the other direction.
Why does it have to be late at night?
Because my guest is in India. And like 9 o'clock at night here is like 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning there.
Oh, shit.
So I am going to be starting it very late at night and probably going to be doing it in the garage because I'm trying to bend time around them.
And space.
Yeah, to start at like 9:30 at night. It's rough, especially on you guys. I got a freaking hour ride home and stuff. So I haven't really.
So you're gonna have Tyler?
No. So the guy that I'm getting on is a professional freestyle rider in India, and he has some like India records,
like jump cows and shit.
So what is he like? How many people he can fit on his moped?
You know, it's funny because I follow this guy. I met him on LinkedIn. I follow him on most of the social media platforms, and he's everything he posts is so oddly familiar. You know, yeah, he's in India, awesome. But they do the same shit there that we do.
Well, they do
here.
The same shit everywhere.
It's not any really different. You know, it's a different country. It's about the only difference. And
although their sideshows are way fucking cooler than ours.
Yeah, they do some crazy shit over there.
We're gonna get up to 90 to make this Mercedes drift on the fucking road.
I've been riding with some guys, as you know, here in town that are like, you know, stunt bike guys and a bunch of followers on Instagram and doing it for years and blah blah blah. A couple of them said they want to be on. Dale, one of the guys, he said his buddy has like 2 world records in freestyle riding. He wants to be on.
Hell yeah.
So I'm probably going to have a whole new, you know,
group
on the next one just to see what's going
this
on.
Is it.
No, yeah.
It's all right.
We're all
news. This is not it, but
but for now.
You we're going to try something different and I kind of want to, you know, get, you know, some things, information from them. I think my perspective is not the same as these guys that do it. You know, I don't wheelie my bike. I don't even do burnouts and shit much. Fair enough. You're right. It won't.
And that's why we got fired. Yeah. Right there. That attitude right there. That's how we got written off the script.
You know,
son of a bitch.
You know, we tend to gravitate towards the technician side of things because that's what we all really do. And I have a perspective for that. When it comes to the freestyle and like stunt bike side, my experience is very limited. So I'm bringing people on that do have that experience that do know. So it's going to be interesting to see how that one goes. I'm kind of excited. It's going to be, you know, stepping out of the box a little bit. It's so easy to do this with you guys because we know each other so well. And you know,
a big shout out to Community Coffee.
Community Coffee.
One of our non-sponsors.
Yeah. Well, they would be on the video, but it looks like the battery died on my GoPro. We lost
that was
video.
The whole point of that.
Yeah, I could have plugged
long
it in.
Is that it's one like of those Chinese things, huh?
No, it's a GoPro 8. It's the real deal.
We also have Chinette.
Oh, yeah, Chinette.
And
Pilsner.
Lots of beer. There's a bottle of whiskey that made it in there. Was that Willett?
Will it?
Yeah. Mike says it's so smooth.
Yeah. Oh, it's good.
Oh God, that's good.
All right. Well, we'll give this a few here, and I think it's about time to wrap things up.
Smoke them if you got them.
Ultimately,
you know, for the new riders and the people that are just getting into it, you're going to learn some hard lessons the first few times you go out for real rides.
Like, make sure your garage door is up.
I mean, that wasn't even a real ride.
Make sure the garage is up.
The theme of the night is watch out for closing garage doors. That poor guy, man. I kid you not, man. I seen that. It hurt my soul. He hit that thing so hard.
I just, you know what? You know what's fucked up? As I saw that, and the first thing I literally did was put my head down and just start shaking my head. Like, are you fucking kidding me?
Same here.
Everyone ran. Like, I guess I had the wrong first response because everybody jumped into action and ran, and all I did was turn away and throw my head up and like, are you fucking kidding me?
That's exactly like, what I did.
And then I saw reaction. How many people were like,
yeah, I ran out
and
there.
I'm like, he's got enough people. I'm okay. Yeah,
so I ran out there. Like, here's
open the store.
Here's the deal, though. When it comes to
over the fucking wall.
When it comes to like the medical side of shit, I'm pretty much a retard.
Yeah, like
I have no idea.
I can
what
do CPR.
Yeah,
but that's not this case. This case was I don't know how to reconstruct somebody's face. When they slam it into a garage, lifting roll-up door.
I mean, he's knocked
15
out.
Miles an hour.
He's got cuts all over his face.
All I see
this
him
sucks.
Is flop and stop and didn't roll. And I was like, ooh, he's knocked out.
Yeah, he's done.
What the fuck? And like walked away. Yeah. Well, everybody ran to him. I was like, wait, that wasn't the right response, I guess.
So I ran out there and I try to do what I can. I'm pretty much worthless in that moment. It's funny because that brings up, and I'm going to talk about this for a second. I was driving down the road one time. I don't know if we talked about this. And I was in a truck and trailer. I was riding behind another truck and trailer. We were convoying it to Texas. And all I really see is the back of a 16-foot enclosed trailer, the big white wall. All I really see. And I'm driving. This was back in the Nextel days.
Okay.
You know, burp, burp, you could talk to each other. And we did this all the time. So, you know, I don't have much field of vision. Maybe the car next to me, the lane there were two lanes. I think we were on 75 running up in Florida, if I remember correctly. And like things start slowing down. And all I could really see is the back of this trailer, but I could tell something's going on. You know what I mean? Like he's slowing down the way we drove, wasn't it? So I'm hitting my brakes and I'm slowing down. And then I hear, did you fucking see that shit? And I'm like, no, no, what happened? And I, as he says, as I look over, there is a fucking tanker truck upside down on the other side of oncoming traffic in the woods. And so he's slamming on the brakes. I'm watching him, so I have to slam on the brakes. We pull into the median, and we're not very far from him. I mean, it all happened very quickly. And this tanker truck is flipped upside down in the fucking woods. So we run over there, I mean, it's just instinct, know, like I don't run the other way. I run to it. I may not know what to do, but I'll run to it and try to help. And we get there and it was a septic truck. Okay. But I don't know if you've ever seen a septic truck sitting next to a propane truck, but they look the same.
Yeah.
The carrier on the back is exactly the same as a fucking propane truck. So we get over there and we have a trailer full of tools. We're carpenters. So my uncle runs back. We had a couple guys with us. He's like, go get some hammers and bars and blah, blah, blah. So we run over and we start, pulling the windshield out because the guys couldn't get out of it. And we start, breaking shit out. As this is happening, as we're getting stuff, somebody's like, that's a fucking gas truck. And I shit you not, dude. My heart stopped and I'm looking there and I'm thinking, all right, where the fuck am I running? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I ain't helping nobody. And then somebody else.
Did somebody yell, it's going to blow?
Well, no, it was bad. It's leaking gasoline. And my uncle was like, shut the fuck up. These guys are trapped in the fucking truck. Shut the fuck up. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it was that bad. And people are like, oh, there's gasoline leaking and blah, blah, blah. And these guys are kind of freaking out in the truck. And we're like, just shut the fuck up and let us get him out of the goddamn truck, But somebody had said, it's a propane truck. And I remember that like 30 seconds of sheer terror thinking, oh, my God, I'm trying to peel some guys out of a fucking propane truck that's upside down in the goddamn woods. This is the dumbest thing I've ever done.
And the guys in the truck are like, it's full of shit. I don't want to get it on me. Get us out.
And then somebody was like, no, it's a septic truck. So we went back in. But yeah, we ended up peeling these guys out and ripping the windshield out. And then they kind of walked out from there because it was on its side. It wasn't upside down. It was on its side. But, got them out. By the time the cops got there, we'd already pulled these guys out of the car and everything like that.
Well, I've had a lot of times where we're ripping through the backwoods and somebody, you come through a couple twisties, you get in a long straight, and the last guy or two isn't in the rear view. And you're like,
fuck.
All right, let me slow down. And you're like, okay. And you're going to the next corner and like, fuck, I don't see him.
That happened with you was sketch when you hit that car.
So we'll rip, if I can, I'll signal the guys ahead of me, like right before the end of the straight, I'll rip up and I'll give them the flip signal.
Yeah.
And I'll slam on the brakes and I'll rip back. And Stuber was one of them where I came back and, come around the corner and there's a bike and there's him on the side of the road and bike shut down, but the music's still blaring. And, you go up to him and, make sure he's breathing and alive and that kind of stuff. Like, I understand that. But today it was more of like, did that really happen? I can't fucking believe that just happened.
I mean, that fucking door cleaned his clock.
I've never seen anybody peeled off a motorcycle more gracefully than that, because it literally, like, he hit it and instantly was, I think, knocked out to where he just like laid down. And so because of that, I don't think it was any worse than it was, because he folded back to get under the door and the bike kind of did its little.
I felt really bad because after it was all said and done, I knew he was okay. My like next instinct was, fuck, I wish I got that on video.
Yeah, no shit. No shit.
God damn, I wish we had that on video. That would be awesome.
That's what my thoughts was like. Yeah. Wait, do it again. Let me video.
Yeah. Well, no. Yeah, God, no. No.
You totally have to like,
I mean, it's shitty to say that.
Play it to where it goes, do,
oh, yeah.
Over and over.
TikToks, whatever the fuck it is. Yeah, do whatever it is. Yeah.
I was talking to Nick about the schedule, so I didn't see it. I just heard smash, bam. Oh, my God. Everybody ran, and I was like, well, fuck. I walk, and I looked over, and I was like,
fucking
of course
John. It's fucking John. Yells. John goes, oh, and then I hear, oh, and I turn, and it's like, bang. Like,
well, no, he yelled like, hey, or so. I think he was trying to get his attention.
Yeah.
Because like I told him, as I was watching him ride, because I saw it all going down, I was watching it. I totally, he was like 4 inches from ducking his head and getting through there. And I thought he was like, oh yeah, fuck you guys, you're putting the door down, I'm going out anyways. And was going to duck underneath of it. Because I've done that shit. Yeah. I've totally done that. Somebody's like, oh, I'm putting the door down on you. Ha ha, duck under it and go. He didn't duck. He did not duck. And had he ducked, he would have been okay. But wow. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, but if he would have looked, he would have been okay too.
I mean, can't blame a transitioning face shield on that.
He was like going so slow that he was behind a guy walking.
Yeah, he's only doing 10-15. Like,
then, like,
he sped up towards the door.
He wasn't going that slow. He was moving fast. Pretty good, dude.
He told me, he was like, well, I was riding and Ian was walking, so I didn't really notice because of Ian, and then Ian moved.
And I the door was shut.
I didn't see Ian. My memory, and memory sucks. When it comes to, if you've watched enough shit, memory sucks when it comes to all this. I didn't see Ian.
I just looked out and he was on the ground and there was a bike moving. And I was like, of course.
Put it this way. He let the clutch out in first gear and was giving it gas as he hit that fucking door.
Yeah.
He was fucking getting it, dude.
Yeah,
bow. Oh, yes. It was bad. Because that's what I'm saying is he was going. I'm like, oh, yeah, he's giving it gas. He's going to duck. He's going to, oh, my God, he's not going to duck.
John yelled, which just made me turn. And I turn and I just see him go, as soon as his face hit, his hands let go, and he was so bad. He was on the bike.
I swear he did a backflip.
Hey, what's that song with?
I feel so bad.
Is it Tori Amos? She does the on the the angels.
Wings of an angel. Of an angel.
Yeah. The arms of an angel.
The arms of an angel.
Yeah. Dude, if that's what I'm saying. Like the outside view, the inside view, slow motion, arms of the angel. Oh my God, that would be a 10 million view YouTube video, I promise you. Like without question.
Yeah, right on the microphone.
Yeah. Oh man. So bad. What is it? And you just have to do, you stretch the 4 second thing out to like 2.5 minutes.
Oh yeah.
So that you listen to this and it's like halfway into the song is when he hits the door and then he's just like,
you have to start it with like him and his super pissed off face all the time where he's all like,
oh yeah.
And then he's like,
he's not a morning person.
No, he is not.
Oh, man.
Like, if somebody could have captured the face he made right when he realized I'm going to smash my face on his door.
He didn't. That's the thing. He did not realize, I promise you, until his head hit the door. He did not know. Looking at, I had the rear view. He had no idea.
I talked to him. He said he didn't even know he hit the door until he was out there. Yeah. Down, he's like,
I'm telling you, when he went, bam, it was flying back. That's when he was like, oh, wait, something just happened.
This is when I hit the door right here.
Shit. That's when he's floating.
Man.
Then he hits the ground on his back. He didn't have a chin strap on, so his helmet flew off.
I've never known anyone that has earned a more fitting nickname.
Yeah, and he didn't like that nickname. It's a badass nickname.
It is a badass nickname.
Except for, it's so fucking true.
Yeah.
It's so fucking true.
Yeah, but I mean, that's not even that horrible. It's like, oh, why are you call you Sketch? Because I wrecked motorcycles. I'm going out of style. That's not even that uncool. You know what I mean? Like, if you were to say that, be like, oh, that's cool as shit. Yeah. You know?
Because every time I get on a motorcycle, they think I'm going to wreck.
Yes. Yeah, you know what's funny?
Oh, why is that? Oh, because I wreck almost every time I get on a motorcycle.
You know what's funny? Hey, you know what's funny? Hits a head-on car at 70, doesn't go down. Hits a door at 15, wiped out.
So he says to me today, food poisoning knocks me on my ass, and I can't work. He's like, garage door knocks me on my ass, and I can still work.
he didn't tell you the part where he tried to get out of it and go get an X-ray and shit.
Well, he should.
He was like, oh, I need to go to urgent care. My neck hurts. And I said, you're fine. And he's like, no, I need to go to urgent care. And I was like, whatever. And so I said, hey, do you need to file workers comp? And he was like, I'm not gonna go to the rest of that conversation. He's like, no, I'm just gonna go there on my lunch. And I was like, okay. So he goes, it's gone like an hour and a half, and I'm like, dude, have you seen anybody? They need to do an X-ray. And I'm like, it's not gonna come up with anything. If they thought you had a broken neck, you'd be on a fucking back brace right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah, he handled the day much better than I thought he would.
Yeah, it's funny is he didn't have no shit talking, very humble today.
Yep.
Well, he's got lacerations on his face.
Yep, from his helmet and
didn't
the
even
vein.
Break
I
his
did
nose.
That once and I forgot no. about it.
You did that once and forgot about it?
Yeah, I got to start the intro and let it get past the talking part.
Oh.
And then I can fade it in. It's an outro. But, I played it earlier and then we started talking and made it a little bit further and
gotcha.
One and two, but yeah.
Well,
you know, there's always something good going on around here. I just still can't believe the dude's still alive. It's hard to hit that fucking door, man. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, because I mean, this couldn't have started when he started riding motorcycles.
Oh no!
I mean, holy shit! He's only been riding motorcycles about 6 months.
But he is what, 24?
I don't know.
26?
I don't know. I have no
idea. So he started in the era of, you know, no riding in the back of pickup trucks, seat belts, no drinking from garden hoses.
Dude, we used to.
So I think that's kind of.
We had whoopties. We called them whoopties
along the way.
It was these dirt roads on a golf course. Yes. And it was like just fucking chicane. Or what do you call them?
Rolling hills. Yeah.
that was the name of the neighborhood, believe it or not, was Rolling Hills. But there was like whoopties, what we called them. I don't know. What do you call them in the dirt bike?
Yeah, whoops. The whoops.
The whoops. Okay, so yeah, whoopties.
Whoop-de-doos.
So we would, my buddy had a Nissan pickup truck. And yep. This is late night, and we would load people in the back of this and be like, oh, let's go drive around and smoke some pot or whatever we're going to do. And then we'd go hit the whoopties and hit that shit like 40 miles an hour and just watch people bounce out of the back of the fucking pickup
truck. I remember being a kid, man.
Dude, I look back, I'm like, man, we were fucking assholes.
I remember being a kid back in the day in a friend's dad's pickup truck, and it's like, I feel like they just slam on the brakes just to take inventory every once in a while.
Yeah.
I was like, boom, boom, boom.
Yep.
Okay, they're all there.
Yep, they're there. Kids today. Fucking kids today. Never thought I'd feel like an old man.
Well, like I said earlier, smoke them if you got them.
Yeah, these fucking kids.